So over the last 2 weeks, we've talked a little bit about David. We talked briefly that first week of why God picked out David for such a special role. In the passage that we talked about, it talked about David honored God in all that he did. He was humble and he had high integrity. And even though David was young, God called him something, even as a boy, he said, that David was a man after his own heart. Pretty tremendous passage. God was preparing David for a life of great importance. And he was preparing him by many high points, and as we'll discover, many low points, as life often deals us in this fallen world. In David's youth, he was a very capable shepherd. I like that picture because it shows, as David probably would have been, he has olive trees behind him in that picture, and you can see all the sheep are around. He became very good at protecting his family's investment in their sheep. He even killed wild animals, as we've read about. He became very efficient with a sling. While his bravery and skills, his ability as a fighter was a very big part of who David was. It wasn't his only ability. And today, we're going to take particular attention. We're going to step away a little bit from the battling David would do through much of his life and consider him as an artist. Consider him as a fine musician and writer of poetry and lyrics. We know from Nehemiah chapter 12 that David also was considered a builder of instruments, which could really mean that he was a designer, which gives us another whole dimension in David and who he was. I have one of the things I think the NIV says a lyre or lyre, but really it's a small harp. I think we have some pictures of David. And these are just random pictures that I found of harps. And if he made them, and I can imagine him making them, he would have been a person of great skill as he did that. But he became known as an excellent player of music. All through my high school years myself, alongside sports like cross country and tennis, I found some of my greatest enjoyment was playing in the band. I totally enjoyed it. I was in concert band, stage band, pep band, the all-league band. I played a variety of brass instruments. I took classes in music theory, composition, music history. I just really, it was kind of like recess to me to have classes in that category. To be honest with you, I don't think I was that good. But I was faithful. I was consistent. I was committed to what I was doing. I sure enjoyed the journey in my heart in those days. Music played an important part of my life. I listened to it often. And just, I came across some records I made in junior high, 7th and 8th grade band. And I have a clipboard up here if you want to sign up to borrow these, to listen to them. It's great music. you'll want to sign up early because I'm sure the sheet will fill up very quickly. I can't even imagine. I haven't listened to those. I don't own a record player anymore, so I am scared to listen to them now. But I still, to this day, I was looking at the records themselves, and I remember the music. I could even play parts of it now. It was kind of spooky because that was many, many years ago. So the word artist can mean many things. One thing I've learned in life is how much I enjoy the creative mind. People around me that have gifts that way are talents, be it fine art or like graphic design, acting or writing, crafting that many people do at home, or carpentry. Even cooking or dance would be a form of creativity. And God has made many people creative for their abilities, also to think and explore and expand our world, to use creative resources in their lives. As I thought about it, really God is the most creative one of all. You can go to any corner of the earth and be amazed at what you see. It's very creative. I often think with a chuckle, the giraffe, let's make it just a little bit longer. as he stretched the neck out of the giraffe. But music is a wonderful form of creativity. And you could say it really strikes a chord in all of our hearts. Excuse the play on words there. It can draw us closer to God. As we listen to God, as we sing and worship Him, it might be in church, it might be in the shower, it might be while we're driving, but God can use music to bring us closer to Him. I'm sure many of you have experienced that. I took the tour of homes yesterday, and I noticed in one shower they had speakers on the wall in the showers, and I thought, there you go. You can sing with accompaniment. So today we come to this account of David as a talented musician, composer, a person who wrote lyrics and poetry, and even as we talked about, a builder of instruments. There's another thing as we look at the passage today that's going to bring us down some rabbit trails that might not be focused, but I hope to bring most of the focus on the musical side of David or his abilities with creative things. Last week, God sent his prophet Samuel from his home up by King Saul's place up near Ramah to go down to Bethlehem and to find the son of Jesse who was to be divinely anointed king. And so he did that. And at the end of that anointing, we read in verse 13 how the Spirit of God came powerfully into David and was with him from that point. As we start out the verse today, we go to the exact opposite as the Spirit of God leaves King Saul. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 14, we read, "Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear." I want you to notice a couple things. First thing is that David, when he was done with all this anointing and all his brothers and family around, and the big deal within the family for sure, he went back to just being a shepherd. He went back to doing every day what he had done before. But also, I thought of what it talks about, that Saul was filled with depression and fear. If you've lived much of life, if you've been around someone that has dealt with those issues, you know how serious it is, how hard it can be. It is nothing to be taken lightly. But there's something else shows up in this passage, and that is the sending of that evil spirit. We're going to get into that just for a little bit, because it is a rabbit trail we want to talk about. The phrase in the verse in the NIV that I just read from, it even says that the Lord sent an evil spirit to him. And that's kind of a stark statement for many of us, that we should talk about it. The first thing I want you to notice is that the spirit left King Saul first. God's spirit left him first. And we'll get into our world in just a second about Christians today. But just to comfort you, if you're a Christian, you have the spirit in you. You cannot have an evil spirit take up residence in your being. So don't ever be fearful of that. As I look at all the Halloween activities and the scary things out there, I know as a kid I was often confused. But no, when you have the Spirit of God in your heart, if He has taken up residence in your heart because you have accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, you can be confident that the Spirit lives in you. So in the Old Testament era, it was quite different from today. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was given to a person for a specific task, generally, for a specific accomplishment that needed to have happen. The Spirit would come and empower that person, and then the Spirit would leave. But since the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts, in the first couple chapters of Acts, shortly after Jesus Christ was killed and then was resurrected. Shortly after that, where we have the Spirit taking up residence into the believers, that the only exception before that time period is in John the Baptist, just before in the early ministry of Jesus Christ. But interestingly enough, the only exception to that in the Old Testament is David himself. No one else had the Spirit of God continually with them. It's kind of interesting thing to talk about. But as we talk about Pentecost, and what it means for us as a Christian. I want to read something from Chuck Swindoll, as he said in one of his writings. At Pentecost, and from that time all the way through our present era, when the Spirit of God comes into the believing sinner at salvation, he never leaves. He comes and baptizes us into the body of Christ. That happens at salvation. We remain sealed by the Spirit from that time on. We're never exhorted to be baptized by the Spirit. We are baptized into the body of Christ, placed there by the Spirit, sealed into the day of redemption. The Apostle Paul continues in his writings to the church in Ephesus chapter 4, verse 30, again the NLT, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. That means behave. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. As Christians, be confident. Be sure in your hope to the gospel that God is with you and you will be with him, because it is guaranteed, as the Apostle Paul said. We should always remember that we have a choice of bringing honor or dishonor to God as a Christian. Now, our story today is many years before Pentecost. It's many years for most people having the residence of the Holy Spirit in their life continually. But what was troubling in this passage was that God's Spirit not only left Saul, but God also sent an evil spirit to torment him. So what's going on with that? It makes many people bothered and uncomfortable that God would send an evil spirit to irritate him, to make him uncomfortable. I thought God was all loving, all caring. God is a God of compassion. Why is he doing that? Remember, as we think in this category, be very careful. God is God, and we are not. God is all-powerful and should be feared. He can do whatever he wants. And I, for one, will be very careful in judging God or determining what's fair or not according to my eyes. God is all-knowing, all-powerful. He is loving, and he is merciful. We do know that King Saul had specific instructions to follow, and he did not do it. He purposely disobeyed God, and God went for many years, actually a number of decades, waiting for Saul to realize who God was. When God took his spirit away from Saul, he left a vacuum. He left a very large, empty space in his soul. I have often felt that there's always hope for a person, as long as God is pursuing them, even making them uncomfortable in their sins, or at least allowing them to be uncomfortable in sins that aren't right. A far worse scenario is God doesn't care anymore. Our God is done warning you. He's done pleading with you. He's done begging you to follow him. It's almost like he says, fine. You want the result of your choices? I'll give you what you want. We've seen it precedent for that throughout scriptures. And look at what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1, right at the start. And the book of Romans is kind of like an logical argument to how we should think. He's talking about people choosing their way over God's way. And this is Romans 1, verses 24 through 25, and then 28 as well. I'm going to read it in the NLT also. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking to let them do things they should never that should never be done. To have life come to a point where God starts to let you be comfortable with your sin sounds scary to me. I don't even want to think about it, to be honest with you. There comes a time in our disobedience to God where he says, I'm done warning you. I will let you pursue what you want, as evil as it might be. It's apparent to me that King Saul was very close to that edge. We don't really know exactly what happened to the end. His disobedience to specific instructions by God. But God let him be uncomfortable in the hopes that he would have an understanding of the true reality of who God was and to recognize God in his ways. We can be so much like King Saul. At times, we need a wake-up call. I don't know if you're like me. When you make a mistake, as much as I don't like it, I appreciate when God wakes me up. You know, and if you're a non-Christian, if you don't know Jesus Christ personally, if you don't know if the Spirit of God is residing in you, I have no doubts. If you experience choices of bad decisions or sin in your life, you know what that's about. But if you want to know that hope, please talk to me. Talk to a friend that you know knows Jesus Christ personally. It's really why the whole Bible is written, to help us understand the message of Jesus Christ. The story of salvation is weaved throughout the whole writings of all Scripture. See, we are all sinners. You and I both know that. We all are in need of salvation from our sins. So with that talked about, let's get back to our story of David, the musician. We come to a point where King Saul was in bad shape, and all his staff knew it. He was a king in trouble. 1 Samuel 16:15-17, again in the NLT. Some of Saul's servants said to him, "A tormenting spirit from God is troubling you. Let us find a good musician to play the harp. Whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you, he will play soothing music, and you will soon be well again." "All right," Saul said. "Find me someone who plays well and bring him here." It's interesting how David is known. At least someone on King Saul's staff knew about this shepherd boy. Evidently, the shepherd boy had a reputation. But not only to be a great musician, but one that inspired others to God. 1 Samuel 16:18. One of the servants said to Saul, "One of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he is a brave warrior, a man of war, and has good judgment. He is also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him." David not only has a reputation for being a good musician, but also a soldier. He's smart, good-looking, a man of God. But think about it. Think of your reputation. How would people describe you? Let's take a moment. Would they say, "There's a person of God. There's a person who followed Jesus Christ"? What is your profile? Something to think about. 1 Samuel 16:19-20 reads, again in the NLT, "So Saul sent messengers to Jesse to say, 'Send me your son David, the shepherd.' Jesse responded by sending David to Saul along with a young goat, a donkey loaded with bread, and a wineskin full of wine. So David went to Saul and began serving him. Saul loved David very much, and David became his armor bearer." Wow. David's impact on arriving and playing music is felt immediately by the king, to such a point that King Saul, with a troubled spirit in him, wants David around more. Not only that, he asks him to be his armor bearer. Now, I imagine a king has multiple armor bearers around him. But essentially what King Saul was saying, I need you close by. I need you and your abilities close by for my well-being. Can you see how God is at work here? Bringing this young shepherd boy into the royal kingdom's court. Really, he was a shepherd boy. A kid, eighth in line to be head of his family. But God, through the gift of David's music ability, brings him into the royal court. I consider it part of his education. Someday he's going to be king. And I wonder how that played in David's mind. I love how God uses people for his glory. He equips them, he gifts them, he supports them, strengthens them. He loves them, and often he encourages them by sending people around him to do so. When it comes to artists and musicians, God can do amazing things through you. You have no idea how important and useful God can take that talent and make use of. If you are gifted and talented, God would invite you to allow that to be used for his glory. But I've seen it the other way too. I have seen musicians become people who think, because they're encouraged so much, they are God's gift to planet Earth. They are the center of the universe. Everyone else revolves around them, around their special abilities. Actually, we can all become like that if we're not careful. The human ego is an exceptional thing. You know, we need a certain self-confidence for our abilities, for our self-image, to do things we need to do. Be it the kids coming up here or reading scripture or giving announcement like Justin did, we need certain abilities and confidence to be able to do that. So how do we keep from getting out of balance? How do we keep from getting out of control? We need to be center-keeled in our relationship with God to stay healthy, healthy and balanced. I know artists, many artists, feel emotions deeply. They struggle with that. So I came up with some suggestions to speak to artists, but also speak to all of us. And actually, I talked about them just a few weeks ago as we finished up the Ten Commandments with the greatest command of all. I'm going to read from the Gospel of Mark, Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. You might remember that. And I highlighted each one. The first one is with your heart. We commit our emotions, our will, our inward decisions in this life to God. If you are a creative person, if you are a person who feels emotions deeply, be careful. Regulate those emotions. By themselves, they can take you places you don't want to go. Remember, we are made in the image of God. I believe God is an emotional God. I believe God gives us emotion so we live life to the fullest, so we experience it. We can hang on to it. Those are good things. As important as they are, they need to be considered in balance, though. I have often said in counseling sessions, emotions are like our children. We value them. We honor them. We prize them. We even take them into account, but we don't let our emotions, we don't let our children make the decisions by themselves. Be careful with those emotions. God sends his Holy Spirit into our soul. And the second one was, with our soul, we commit ourselves to God's perspective, to his priorities for all eternity. We must guard our soul. We need to allow God to minister to us and to understand we are spiritual creatures. We can't ignore that there's a spiritual side to who we are as people. He gives us his Spirit to speak into our lives, to guide us as we read his word, allowing us to listen with God ears, so to speak. We need to listen to God, his spirit. And God's never in conflict with himself or his word. By his very nature, he's consistent. He is one. With our mind, we submit all of our plans, intellect, and thoughts to God and his purpose. There's a saying that the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And it's true. God created us with an intellect, the power to think, to study, to learn. We need to apply our ability to think, to look, to explore, to discover God's truth wherever it is. And that means we can study math and science, physics, biology, and not be threatened by them. We can look at history and see God's guiding hand through all of history. We don't need to be threatened by outside arguments, but we do need to be well grounded in God's word and how God thinks. We need to spend time in his word and come to identify his truth. And finally, with strength, we honor God with our bodies, keeping them healthy, pure, and focused on God's plan. Again, for all of us, we must be strong for God with our bodies and with the disciplines of this life. We must have the courage to live what we believe. We should do it with discipline. We should do it with delight, attending church with joy. We must have the strength to read the Bible in disciplined ways. That means read it regularly and often. We need to be strong in talking to God, taking things to him in prayer that we care about. For God is a God who listens. He hears us. And that's why we come together as a group of believers and pray together, but also in our private life. We need to pray often. The Apostle Paul said near the end of his life, in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We need to follow his example to be strong, faithful, and to finish well. For we run the race for his sake, not ours. We need to keep our minds disciplined and focused on Jesus Christ, listening to his spirit who resides in our very souls. We also need, and this might be the hardest for many of us, to commit our emotions to honor God with all that we do and all that we are. We have a great God who looks to give us endless opportunities to honor him with our abilities, with our heart, with our minds, with our strength. We might not have the skill of David, the shepherd boy. As he became a musician, as he became stronger in his abilities as a warrior, but we know we can take what we have and maximize them for God every day. For his glory. Let me pray. Father, you have known us since before we were. Psalms 139 tells us very clearly. You know us totally. You have given your spirit to reside in our being as Christians, to protect us, to help us think well, maybe to allow us to be uncomfortable when we don't choose well. When we make bad decisions, or when we just sin, with planning or without, help us to be strong for you. Help us to be disciplined for you. Help us really know what it means to walk with you every day so we indeed can handle those rough times as well as the good times. Bless us with an awareness of your presence every day. In Jesus' name, amen.